Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. It's just gone 8 minutes past the hour of 9. Welcome to the social program on Radio Islam International. My name is Habib Bobat, and inshallah I'll be keeping you company this morning right up till 10 a.m. This morning, alhamdulillah, we do have Maulana Ibrahim Bam in the studios, and we are going to be returning back to our focus, that is Enjoy Your Life by Sheikh Arifi, and we will be discussing chapter 16 today, inshallah. Let's first welcome Maulana on the program. Maulana, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and assalamu alaikum to all the listeners.
We trust that you are well this morning, inshallah.
Alhamdulillah, Allah tell us fazl and grace, and nice to be in the studio.
MashaAllah. Previously we were discussing about inheritance and the laws pertaining to inheritance, and last week we were speaking about wasiyah, the different types, the wajib, then the mustahab, and then the makruh, and then the haram. If you missed the program, you can get the podcast on the website www.radioislam.co.za. Well, an overview of today's program.
Well, yesterday we were, while discussing, we thought that we will go back onto the book, and when I saw the topic on the book, purify your intention for the sake of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, obviously from the chapter and from the title it seemed that it was about tashiyah niyat, to purify your intention and to purify your deeds for the sake of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which undoubtedly is one of the very great aspects of our deen. Innama al-a'malu bin-niyyat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will judge our deeds according to the intention made for the deeds. However, upon closer reading of the entire chapter, it seems that while that is an important aspect of the chapter, it is more about the way the author has concluded the chapter by saying, purify your intention so that your interpersonal skills can turn into acts of worship with which you can draw closer towards Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it's sincerity about your interpersonal skills. And of course brings us to an important aspect in relationships. Why do we have relationships? Why do we have relationships? And of course it's a very famous the saying and incident, and people used to always say that there were three brothers, Muhabbat Ali, Barkat Ali, and Matlab Ali, and the two brothers passed away, and there's only Matlab Ali left now. So in many ways, what is the reason why we keep relationships? And I think that is what we will be doing in pursuing today. Maybe people can sharpen their thoughts. Why do we keep relationship? And I think that would tie in that we are supposed to keep relationships for the sake of Allah, but does it always happen?
Interesting indeed, and we will be going into this chapter just after this commercial break. Do keep the numbers ready, and the phones also ready. The numbers to keep in mind, 011-854-1548, that's 011-854-1548. Alternatively, the studio number for WhatsApp is 072-786-1548. Purify your intentions for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is chapter 6 of the book Enjoy Your Life by Dr. Al-Arifi. And we're not talking about ibadah, as Maulana mentioned in the introduction. We're talking here about interpersonal skills. And the author is talking about keeping your intentions sincere as far as your relationships are concerned. And it's a very phenomenal start to the chapter which Maulana will share with us, Maulana.
Yes, Sheikh Arifi starts off this beautiful way. He said, I contemplated the way some people, some of whom I have lived with for years, deal with others. I used to keep and see them that when you used to meet with them, you could hardly see them smiling or joking out of courtesy or reacting positively to the person speaking to them. I used to think, perhaps that is their nature. That is the way they deal with one another. They are not very courteous. They are not very joking. They are not very, you know, what we will say, extrovert. They are introvert. They don't like to meet. They don't like to interact. This is the way they relate with people. You get people like that. And I think it's important for us to understand sometimes people's tabi'at, sometimes people's temperament is naturally insular. Now, they don't like to meet. They don't like to interact. And in that way, when they don't do these type of things, then it has a situation where you sometimes feel that they have been, you know, not courteous. But sometimes it is the way, that's the way they have been brought up. Sometimes I find it sometimes difficult, but you do get people to meet, and you sometimes speak to people on the phone, for example, and you just get a shock that they are cold, they are impersonal. And then you get sometimes people whom you speak on the phone, the moment you speak to them, they are smiling, you feel comfortable. So the author said that I met people like that, and I felt that maybe there is a tabiat, there is a temperament. They are not very extrovert, they are not very friendly, they are more insular. Mm. They only will open up with those people whom they know. And of course, there are a lot of people like that who will not open up to strangers, but will be perfectly comfortable with the people whom they know and with their own friends. But then I saw them, all of a sudden, the very same people whom I used to see people greeting them, I used to greet them. They shouldn't be very kind, very courteous, they shouldn't be laughing. And all of a sudden, when some prominent person, some wealthy person came, they were perfectly normal and they were joking and they were courteous.
Mm.
And he says that, is this the situation? And he says, a believer worships Allah by being well-mannered and dealing pleasantly with all, not to attain status or wealth or people's praise or to get married, but only so that Allah Ta'ala may love him and make him beloved to his creation. Yes, whoever considers exercising good manners as worship will deal courteously with everyone, be he rich or poor, a manager or a tea boy. If one day a poor cleaner on the street stretches out his hand for you to shake it, and then another day a director of some company and a wealthy person stretches his hand out in the same way, will you treat them equally? Will you welcome them both and smile at them equally? Would a person who is a normal person, working class, greet you? Would you show the same amount of enthusiasm and smiling as a person who is wealthy? And I think this is an important point. And the thing, then what the author does very, very interestingly, he goes and speaks about the hadith which speaks about good manners.
Mm.
Now, just understand this, and I think I just want you to put your thinking caps on. What he's trying to say is, and that is where he starts off the chapter by saying, purify your intention for the sake of Allah. If you believe in these ahadith to be true, if you believe in these ahadith to be correct and through the means of good manners, you will attain the nearness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then it doesn't matter with whom you are going to be good mannered to.
Hmm.
It doesn't matter with whom you are going to be good mannered to. It can be anyone, but you are doing it to please Allah. And when you are doing it to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then it doesn't matter. But if you are doing it for the sake of name, status, fame, your motives, then you are going to deal with people differently. Hmm. Then perhaps those ahadith might not be as relevant to you as it would be relevant if you are doing it because Allah and His Rasul has commanded us to be good and well-mannered.
Mm.
And I think it's a fascinating way that he has put forward a very topical, yet sometimes a difficult situation.
Interesting indeed. And in Urdu, they used to say, tamalluq or chaplosi. MashaAllah. That you are kind and courteous to certain people for your own motives, and you are the total opposite on the other side. Sometimes you find that a person is totally obedient and kind towards his sheikh, but when it comes to the household members, he's the opposite. Likewise, when it comes to the ustad relationship. So he's saying across the board, whoever it may be, poor or rich, whether it's a tea boy or the cleaner, you show courtesy for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It also brings us to the aspect, Manana, when you're in a supermarket, if the manager is behind you, you're smiling and courteous to all the customers.
Mm.
The minute the manager or the floor manager is not there, then you're back to your normal default mode.
And I think, let's look at the way you put it. The Prophet ﷺ would treat people equally in terms of welcoming them and showing them sincere conduct and compassion. I mean, one of the amazing aspects of Nabi Karim ﷺ's conduct was when anyone person came, he treated him well. And of course, there's this very amazing incident with Aisha radiallahu ta'ala, when a person who was a munafiq, an enemy of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, came to Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and instead of saying assalamu alaykum, said assalamu alaykum. Now, he made it sound as if it was assalam, but he's quite clear, he said assam, which is a very directly opposite to the meaning assalam. Assalam means peace be upon you, Allah's rahmat and mercy be upon you. Whereas the word assam means may the destruction of Allah ta'ala be upon you. And when he said that, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala also, you know, gave him the choices of words in retaliation. Mm. And when he went away, Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, why did you have to do that? And he said, didn't you hear what he said? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I also just said alaykum, the same be upon you, what you have said. Oh, Aisha, the worst of people are those whom people stay away from because of their vulgarity and obscenity. And because of them being vulgar. And it's an amazing thing. Now, you know, I always, when I relate this hadith, I see in today's time, it is regarded to be, in some way, a great virtue. You know, I heard people saying, you know, let him come in front of me, I will show him. I'll take off with him, I'll make him. You feel it is a virtue. But Nabi Karim s.a.w. had said, the worst of people are those who people stay away from for fear of their vulgarity. And today we feel, mara, I'm better awa jo. Let him come in front of me, I'll show you a point. You feel it is like a matter of pride. But in the words of Nabi Karim s.a.w., such a person is the worst of people that people stay away from because of fear of how they're going to deal and how they're going to be. You know, in Gujarati, they used to say this, and I don't know how to put it, but they used to say, you know, be careful about that person. You know, a nangoche. It means he won't keep in mind the conduct required when dealing with you, and he might even abuse you in front of people. So be careful about him. Now, Nabi Karim s.a.w. said, the worst of people are those who people stay away from because of fear of being abusive and being vulgar.
Subhanallah.
Subhan. And then, of course, another incident, Nabi Karim s.a.w., one day a person came to meet Nabi Karim s.a.w., and he was well known that he was a person of let us say it, fitna. And he was a person who causes problems. And Nabi Karim s.a.w. told us that Aisha, this person has got such a reputation. And yet when he came, Nabi Karim s.a.w. dealt with him in such a beautiful way. And when he went away, Hazrat Aisha said, Ya Rasulullah, this is surprising. You told me that this person has got such a reputation, but yet you dealt with him perfectly as if it was someone completely, you know, sincere and didn't have such a reputation. And Nabi Karim s.a.w. said, the best of people are those who are good in conduct to others.
Subhanallah.
Now that is with regard to enemies. Can you imagine Nabi Karim s.a.w.'s situation with other people? I mean, sometimes this aspect comes in mind that Nabi Karim s.a.w. used to, even when people used to come with Nabi Karim s.a.w. to request Nabi Karim s.a.w. things, which at times were inconveniencing Nabi Karim s.a.w. But for their sake, Nabi Karim s.a.w. used to do it. The Ansar of Medina, when Medina can get very cold sometimes, and they used to bring water, cold water, there was no geyser at that time, for Nabi Karim s.a.w. to put his hand into the water for barakah, and Nabi Karim s.a.w. never used to refuse. And this was the beauty. And then the author goes on to say, the importance of character and the importance of good conduct, the most beloved of you to me and the closest to me on the day of judgment are those who are best and good in manners. Those who are good in conduct will be the best in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, will be closest to me on the day of judgment. And then another one, he said that when one tribe came, and amongst them there was the prominent member of the tribe, Ashhaj bin Abd Qais, who, when the people of the tribe came in the enthusiasm to meet Nabi Karim s.a.w., they left their goods, they ran to go meet Nabi Karim s.a.w., and this Ashhaj, what he did was, he gathered everyone's gatherings, their belongings, he put it on his right place, he secured it, he fastened and he tied the camels, he went to go and, you know, he went to go and dress himself well, he went to go and take a bath and cleaned himself, and then he presented himself to Nabi Karim s.a.w. And Nabi Karim s.a.w. said, you have two qualities which Allah Ta'ala and His Messenger likes. And how the author puts it, what were these two qualities? Prayer and fasting? No, we never undermine ibadat. But at the same time, those who are doing ibadat should not undermine akhlaq and conduct, because sometimes it is a tit for tat. So Ashhaj became overjoyed and said, what are these two qualities? And Nabi Karim s.a.w. said, forbearance and patience. Now look at that. Now the point again is, these are qualities about which Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam has spoken highly about, and virtuous. So if it is virtuous, do you do it only to certain people, or you do it because it is virtuous? If it is virtuous, you will be doing it with everyone. And you will not see, and you will not be doing it for motives.
011-854-1548, that's 011-854-1548, alternatively 488-55 or 0727-86-1548. The question we're asking you today is that why is it such in our community that some people reserve their good conduct, their courtesy and their good manners only for certain people, and when it comes to other less affluent people or less popular people or less influential people, then they give them the cold shoulder? Why is that the case? And that's what we are discussing this morning on the social program, and it is chapter 16, Purify Your Intentions. Murana, sometimes you find it happen on a big scale also. Let's say a country is hit with a disastrous situation and another country comes in with a humanitarian angle and says, we will bail you out. But that's on the front, that's on the fore of it. But if you look behind it, we want X, Y, and Z from your resources. So people are doing good, but they're using it for ulterior motives, and it happens on all scales, Murana.
Yes, Murana, that is on a larger scale, and of course, that's from the political sense. We all know that no one, there is nothing like a free lunch, they say. There is nothing like a free lunch. Just remember that, that sometimes when you do get invited for, that is now, of course, the corporate world and how the world, but look at the beauty and the simplicity of Islam. Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, there are six rights that you owe your Muslim brother. And one is it when he makes salam, you must reply to his salam. When he sneezes and he says alhamdulillah, you must say yarhamukallah. When he's sick, you go and visit him. When he dies, you go and attend his janazah. And one of them is that if he invites you, then you must respond. Now, I'm just trying to look at that. Look at that, what Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said. It is one of the signs of brotherhood to be able to give da'wat and to receive it. Must work both ways.
MashaAllah.
It doesn't work only accept da'wats. Sometimes ulama only accept. Tani Ramtulali used to say that whenever someone gave him something, he always used to return it. And see, even if it's a small way. So nevertheless, look at that way, that to accept a da'wat is regarded to be a sign of Muslim brotherhood. And here you find the corporate world say there's nothing like a free lunch.
SubhanAllah.
So it all goes again, back again to what we are saying, that today relationships have become motivated
gains.
By personal gains. And that is so sad, but that is the reality. And you know, how do you always do things for your own sake and your own benefit? Sometimes even in your own home, sometimes the relationship is only one-sided. So it's only that I must benefit, but I'm not prepared to give. How is that relation going to be working out when all the time you are only want to be on the receiving end? My Ustad is a Mufti Ahmadur Rahman sir, you know, Ya Allah Ajib, you know, used to come and give us talks, and sometimes we used to wonder, you know, sometimes I remember one time there was some little bit of tension, one or two problem situations, and one or two students were found out to be doing something which the administration were not too happy about, and he called all the foreign students and he said he's going to come and give a talk. So we were all now worried now. Something must have happened. He's going to come down hard upon us and he's going to put new laws and we're going to be in problems and all. And subhanAllah, he just came and he spoke about pride. And he spoke about humility. SubhanAllah. And this whole bayan is still, I record it. And I still sometimes listen to it. And then towards the end he said, one of the reasons why you people fight, one of the reasons why people fight in our hostels is because everyone wants to become, you know, a makhdoom. So you say, khadim bano, makhdoom mat bano. Become a person who serves people. Don't wait for attention. Don't wait for service. He said, all the problems in the world is, all the problems, khadim banne mein koi jagra nahi. To become a servant, there is no jagra. But he said, whenever everyone wants to be served, that's when the problem starts. And that is the reality with regard to what's happening in the world today.
9:30, we go for a commercial break. When we return, we'd like to hear from you on 011-854-1548 or 072-786-1548 or tweet Molana at Ibrahim Baum.
Much treasure with Molana Musa Bidak. Low price discounted even further. Up to 2,000 rand discount if confirmed by 20th February. Call Molana Musa Bidak on 011-0400-800 or 071-584-85. Pick up also available. Discounted airfares.
All I need is water.
Crescent of Hope, Operation Water for Life. Support a Crescent of Hope initiative of drilling boreholes and making water available to the drought-stricken areas of the Free State and Eastern Cape. Sponsor a complete borehole or contribute towards one. We urge communities and schools to sponsor a complete borehole. Contact our office on 011-852-7370. Your contribution can make a difference. Crescent of Hope, serving humanity for the pleasure of the Almighty.
What we all need is water for life.
When you're after a trusted brand like Toyota, you want the same kind of expertise and reliability you'd expect from one of their top dealerships. Before buying your next Toyota, come in and speak to the professionals at Freeway Toyota. Whether it's a Corolla, Yaris, Auris, or Hilux you're looking for, don't sign up until you've spoken to one of our highly qualified team of sales professionals. We will not only match, but beat any written quote. Give us a call or come in for a test drive. 011-661-0000.
Wrap it. Pack it, fill it, close it, store it, pour it, throw it, zip it, sip it, or just stash it. You've got it. Stash It Distributors, for all your packaging and baking requirements. Stash It Distributors, 6 Clare Road, Fordsburg, 011-492-0033.
This is a social program with Maulana Ibrahim Bum. Call 011-854-1548. Tweet at Ibrahim Bum.
It is a social program. You are listening to the book Enjoy Your Life by Dr. Arifi. And today's chapter is about purifying your intentions. I believe we have a call online. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Yeah, pa.
Mulana, once I was invited to a high tea, a so-called high tea, and being very, I'm a simple Jane in my way of dressing, and I also walk with a limp. Now, before the program started, sisters was very smartly dressed and very classy, did not even as much as greet. But during the break, a radio presenter from CII came up to me to greet me from the table next to mine. And obviously, they asked her who I was, and she told them about me. After that, the tables turned. Molana, I truly believe you have to be someone in society to be recognized. Yes, Molana. Ye dunya ke log bahut ajeeb hai. Jazakallahu khairan, Molana.
Jazakumullahu khair. Molana, it reminds me of the example you shared last time that one person was invited for a function and about the clothes. Maybe you can share it with us again. A poor person was invited to a function and he came with torn, tattered clothes and they never allowed him in and they were not treating him well. So he went back and he changed his clothes and he came with expensive clothing and immediately they allowed him entry and they were treating him well. So he took the food and he started putting it in his clothes and he said, Hakawe, iskeliya.
Yeah, sometimes clothes can be, of course, I was reading this Mullah Nasiruddin's incidents, and one of the things that really got me, smiling in humor was when Mullah Nasiruddin went to a function, and he wore a jabba and he wore a turban. So people thought he was an alim. So Mullah Nasiruddin was a person who was an ordinary person, simple person, and of course the butt of jokes, and he became like a title or a person whom people used to refer jokes to. And someone came and asked him, seeing his clothes and his turban, ask him a masala. So he didn't know the answer. He says, I don't know the answer. So he says, look at how you're looking. You got a turban, you got a jubba, and you don't know the answer. So he took the turban and put it on his head and said, well, now you answer. See, if you think that because of this I can answer, so put a turban on your head, now you answer it. Why are you asking me? So anyway, I think the point is, if we are doing good to people because it is Allah's command, and it is because it is virtuous and rewarding, then that particular type of behavior should be a standard behavior with all people. It's a very subtle, but I think it's a very, very important point. Because sometimes we can get it's, we are all human beings, and as part of being human beings, we can sometimes get carried away. And sometimes it also happens, we are normal shortcomings, and we do have these shortcomings. Sometimes it can happen that we might not be able to, when we meet people whom we know, or we meet people who are influential, we might show them a different face. When a person comes and we meet him on a normal basis, then we find that perhaps we are not there. But if the intention is to be good-mannered, then look at the rewards of good manners. And this is what Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had said. He was asked about the deed or account on which most people will enter Jannah into. Well, most of the people enter Jannah on which attributes? Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, fear of Allah and good manners.
Allah.
Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, the most complete in faith are those who are best in their character, those who are easy to socialize with,
Allah,
and those who get along with others and others get along with them. لا خير لمن لا يألف ولا يؤلف. There is no good in people when they cannot socialize, they cannot get along with people, and people can't get along with them. There is no good in the one who cannot get along with others and others cannot get along with him. This is a hadith in Tirmidhi, subhanAllah, worthy of repeating. Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had said, the most complete in faith are those best in their character, those who are easy to socialize with, and those who get along with others and others get along with them.
Allah.
There is no good in the one who cannot get along with others and others cannot get along with him. Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, إِنَّ أَثْقَلَ شَيْءٍ يُرْفَهُ فِي مِيزَانِ الْمُؤْمِنِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ خُلُقٌ حَسَنٌ. That the weightiest thing, there is nothing heavier in the scales of good deeds than good manners. And of course, Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, إِنَّ الْمُؤْمِنَ لِيُدْرِكَ بِحُسْنِ خُلْقِهِ. A person by his good character reaches the rank of the one praying the entire night and keeping fast during the day, all day. Now all of these are virtues of good manners. If you are trying to achieve the goodness and the virtue and the reward of that, then your behavior should be for all like that because you are trying to get the reward and not for people because of your own personal motives.
SubhanAllah. And what a hadith, man. Those who are easy to socialize, those who are easygoing, and there is no good in a person that they cannot get along with others and others cannot get along with them. It's a narration of Tirmidhi. And you would think the Prophet of Allah is only talking about Hajj and Sawm and Ramadan. But yes, he's pointing a very important factor towards us, and he's saying that, look, not only ibadah, but focus on your character also. And I think the next hadith, Mawlana, which Hazrat Umm Salama asked, is even more phenomenal. And maybe Mawlana can share that hadith with us and we can discuss it.
Yes, Mawlana. The one thing that I really find this very amazing is that Umm Salma radiallahu ta'ala one day asked Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Ya Rasulullah. And of course, in her situation, it was very, very apparent why she asked the question. And Umm Salma was married to Abu Salma radiallahu ta'ala, and she had tremendous love. And both of them were remarkable people. They had a very, very good relationship, a very good marriage. They both strove in the beginning stages of Islam. They were persecuted. They underwent all those type of sacrifices for the sake of Islam. And in that particular way, they did all of that. And during the course of one of the battles, Abu Salma radiallahu ta'ala was wounded. It was in the Battle of Uhud. Thereafter, he got Umm Salma radiallahu ta'ala anha, nursed him. He became better. Then Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam sent him as a head of an army towards the Bani Asad. And that wound fled up again, because of which he passed away. And amazing, just before that, this is a little bit fresh. I just did a series on the wives of Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And in that, just before, Abu Salma radiallahu ta'ala was one day speaking to Umm Salma and saying that there is this beautiful hadith. You know, this hadith is that when a husband and wife, they both are pious and they are both, you know, good to one another, and they both, because of their good deeds, reach Jannah, Allah ta'ala will make them meet in Jannah together. So Umm Salma, because of being happy in marriage to Abu Salma, said, how nice it would be that we don't get married again. We don't get married again. And Allah Ta'ala unite us in Jannah because our marriage is so good.
SubhanAllah.
And, you know, this is what I suggest. And Abu Salma was absolutely amazing. He had such a broad mind and such a broad heart. He said, no, Umm Salma, if something happens to me, I want you to get married again.
SubhanAllah.
And Allah must give you a better husband than he has given to me. I sometimes wonder that how, you know, normally today people have this, you know, remarkable type of thing that they want to control a person's, you know, control a person even after they die.
Yeah.
So you find this, people now put it in their will. I mean, last week we did about will, that if the wife gets married again, she must get nothing.
Mm.
So that means you are so sensitive about your wife,
wow,
that you want to control her
even after
you passed away and you're in the qabr. So there's one verse, the aspect of mine is that one friend of mine, you know, sometimes he makes some silly jokes, and one day he said, you know, people put all of this in the wool and for nothing. He said, if you ever want to, ever want your wife not to get married again. So I said, what do you mean? He said, you know, put after you have passed away, died from AIDS. Anyway. So I, what I'm trying to just say that, you know, people will actually, today's time, do something like that.
Mm.
They'll be try so sensitive. Look at the greatness of Abu Salman. He said, I want you, after something happened to me, Allah must grant you a better husband than what He granted me. How did he know that how true these words are going to be?
Subhanallah.
Umm Salma radiallahu ta'ala, when Abu Salma passed away, and then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam taught her, Adu Allahumma ajurni fi musibati wa khlufli khayran minha. Oh Allah, reward me for this difficulty which I'm undergoing. She went through a great amount of sadness because she was close to Abu Salma. And then, grant me someone better. She said, I used to make the dua and I think, who's going to be a better husband than Abu Salma? And then Nabi Karim s.a.w. proposed. And when Nabi Karim s.a.w. proposed, she said, Ya Rasulullah, I don't mind accepting, but I got four difficulties.
Hmm.
Subhanallah. What were the difficulty? I'm getting old. The second thing she said, I have children.
Mm.
Third thing is, I'm naturally jealous and possessive.
Mm.
And the fourth thing, there was one more thing which slips my mind at the moment. She made mention of four things.
Sensitive.
No, the sensitive we made mention. There were four things she had made mention of. So, Nabi Karim s.a.w. said, don't worry. As far as your age, I'm elder than you. As far as your children, they are my children. I will look after them. As far as your jealousy and sensitivity, I will take care of it. And I will make dua that Allah Ta'ala remove the jealousy and sensitivity from you. I will make dua and I will treat it in such a way that you will not feel jealous and sensitive.
Mm.
And Nabi Karim s.a.w. got married to her. What an amazing aspect. That how Abu Salma, in his broadness of heart, said that may Allah Ta'ala grant you even a better husband.
Mm.
But now look at this question. Now it brings up to this question. Ya Rasulullah, a woman might be married many a times in this world. Can happen.
Mm.
Either husband passes away, she gets married again. She gets divorced, she gets married again. Well, obviously with divorce, I think it won't be such an issue.
Mm.
Right? But if she's a widow and she gets married again, with which husband will she stay in Jannah?
Subhanallah. What a question.
What a question, right? I mean, and see, Allah hasn't made it such that woman will have two husbands. And it's not something that comes easily. For whatever reason, maybe men are more so sensitive on this particular regard or whatever. Whereas the other side, it has been made permissible in Islam.
Mm-hmm.
Even if there is sensitivity and there is certain type of attitudes towards it.
Mm.
But in this way, look at what Nabi Karim s.a.w. said. He doesn't say you will stay with a husband who makes more namaz, more roza, more zakat. He said that you will be with the one who was best in character.
Subhanallah.
And who's going to make that call?
Allah.
Who's going to make that call? Who will be more worthy than making the call than that wife? Because she is the one who knows the ins and outs of the husband. She will be the one who knows both in and out. And that is why it is said that the wife knows about the character of the husband more than anyone, even more than the mother.
Mm.
Because the wife knows the ins and outs of a person's character. So what did Nabi Karim s.a.w. said? You will be in Jannah with the one who is best in character. I wonder that if there is ever such within our community and people would ever like to talk that you know, I had these two husbands, but I'll prefer this husband over that husband because his character was good. But obviously, it is a very personal matter, and I'm not saying something that people would be very very
happy
to share that. But it might be an interesting thing, given that Umm Salma radiallahu anha did ask that question.
Mm. Some of the messages coming through, Malana, this one reads, Assalamu alaikum. Sadly, our reason for treating anyone well is because we expect something back in return, free gifts, attention, importance by association, etc., etc. Hence, we will only treat those who think can give us something in return. Interestingly, most of those who have less materially, who are less materially geared, understand that survival is more than rich gifts and popularity. They understand survival includes receiving the smile from your neighbor and the onion when you don't have one. Perhaps we have just forgotten that the only one that can give us is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
MashaAllah.
Then there's another. Okay, let's take a call of first. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Assalamu alaikum. G, you live on air?
My name is Ahmed.
G.
And I'd like to make a contribution to the program or a comment on the program.
By all means. Go ahead.
G, am I on air?
G, you live on air.
Jazakallah. MashaAllah for an excellent program. And there's a very famous song which the singer says, Paisa Fek Dek Tamasha.
Paisa Fek Tamasha Dek.
Okay?
Paisa Fek Tamasha Dek.
Paisa Fek Tamasha Dek. Jazakallah.
And what is your point in that? Do you feel that that is become the criteria for relationships also?
Yes, definitely. Definitely, because the like they say, the rich and the famous gets recognized today. A poor fellow coming with a small little old car doesn't get recognized. His clothes get looked at. Every aspect in life today gets looked at when somebody is wealthy. Jazakallah. That's my comment. I'll listen on it.
Jazakumullah. Can we take one more caller?
Yes, sure.
Okay, it's airtime, you know. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
One comment I want to make is about the what you're discussing now is to improve the situation. The only way you can improve is to take stock of ourselves, where we come from. Because sometimes we grow up in poverty, you see, and then through all the sufferings and all that. So we should ponder on those to improve our situation so we don't become obsessed with ourselves.
Jazakallah so much. I think, yes, we can talk, and I think we can be, sometimes we can, and of course sometimes it does happen, and you do see it in community and society that people will react differently to different people depending upon the status, whatever the status might be. So I think it's important for us to each and everyone, and I would start over myself, to start taking stock with regard to it, to start making a point to see that, listen, am I treating all people good because of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's hadith that good manners bring such great rewards? And if it is the motivation that good manners bring such great rewards, then you should be equal, treating everyone equally. There is going to be a situation which I think people will naturally respond more positively or respond in a different way to people who they are friends with. But now that friendship again will not be based on a particular criteria. It will be just because you are good to someone. Now obviously when you are a friend with someone, you are going to react more jokingly, more humorously, maybe more laughingly with him than compared to someone who's a stranger. But at the end of the day, never make it sound that as if anyone is being treated differently in terms of behavior, in terms of conduct, because of their status. I think it's an important point that, and I think I really very beautifully portrayed by the author. He has put this point in a very beautiful manner. He says that if, for example, your motivation is because of good manners, is because of these hadith, which I have made mention. Let us just very briefly go on this one beautiful hadith. The most complete in faith are those who are best in character, those who are easy to socialize with, those who get along with others, others get along with them. There is no good in the one who cannot get along with others and others cannot get along with him. What a remarkable hadith of Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He said, if that is the motivation for you to socialize and be good, then you are going to be looking not at the person whom you are dealing with, you are looking at the reward.
Subhanallah. For the person. Okay, let's go to the lines again. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum salam.
Jiyata.
I just want to comment on this program. I'll say you mustn't do, if you got a husband, you mustn't do things to gain something out of it. You must do it for the pleasure of Allah. After all, He is the father of your children, and He is the husband. He's been there all His life for you. And He's looking after you every day. Why want something in return? That's all I'd like to say, Maulana.
Interesting indeed, Sister. Jazakumullah for that.
Yeah, I think an important point, even with regard to husband-wife relationship, you're doing it because it is a command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You're not being good to your wife because you want her to be, you know, something from her, or for example, vice versa.
You want a weekend off for sports or something? This one says, well, what do you do when an extended family member doesn't talk to you or mix, even if you make an effort to talk to them? They can't continue with a conversation, but in front of other family members, they'll talk like everything is normal. Do you leave them because that's their nature, or what do you do? Perhaps they just have a dislike for you.
Just repeat that, man. I didn't get it.
So basically, the person is saying that there's a difficult extended family member. When you try to converse with them, they're not conversing with you. But when they're with others, they are bubbly, etc. What do you do in a situation like that?
So you get people who are more bubbly and people who are not. Well, I think you just deal with people according to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's hadith, anzalun nas manazilahum, they deal with people according to their status and to their way, their temperament. So if there is someone who is more bubbly and enthusiasm, you also become bubbly. And if, so, for example, someone who is more introvert, he doesn't like it, take into account his temperament and deal with him accordingly. Someone has also sent something on the lighter side. Many wives, jazakallah for the enlightening program. One on the lighter side, many wives will be stating in their wills, go ahead, get married again, because I, your wife, don't want to make the same mistake twice.
Subhanallah. This is another question. Which wife will the husband be with if his wife passed away and he remarries? Yeah, Manana, you mentioned about Umm Salama. Now it's the other way around. Uska kya jawab hai?
The man will be with all the wives.
Oh, yes. Good answer. Kya baat kahi?
No, the man, there is a precedent in the world for a man to be with more than one wife. There is no precedent on the opposite side. In a similar manner in Jannah, the precedent would be that there is a precedent for a person to be with more than one wife. There is no precedent for the other side. So that is why Umm Salma radiallahu ta'ala asked the question. But jazakallah for bringing it. It's a natural question that comes to mind.
So interesting question indeed. 7 minutes left to the program. 011-854-1548 or alternatively 488-55 or 07-222-18384. Here's the other one saying, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam made the changes and Umm Salama was moody. Is that the fourth one, Manar?
No. There was something about
somebody's message.
Yeah, no. I do remember the one in which Umm Salama made mention of 4 points. I'm old. I got children, I'm sensitive. There was one more point that somewhere along the line I read it and it just seems to slip my mind at the moment.
Inshallah, well, we can continue and wrap up with the
discussion. And Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was the best example to follow in every aspect of character. He was the most generous, the bravest, the most forbearing, and more bashful than a virgin. He was the most truthful and trustworthy person. As the disbelievers will bear witness to even before the believers, as well,
Subhanallah,
as well as the sinners before the righteous. He was the best in character, the most trustworthy, as people who are disbelievers, they would give this particular type of, you know, another thing now, all of the things are quite fresh. So when Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam got married to Umme Habiba radiallahu ta'ala, who was the daughter of the enemy of Islam at that time, Abu Sufyan. What did he say? He said, although I am fighting against Muhammad, my daughter could not have got a better husband. Now sometimes, and on this particular aspect, the people in the previous time were enemies of Islam and Muslims because of the truth. But they couldn't fault them on their character. Today they can be characters, they can be enemies, but they will fault us on our character also. So they've got an added reason to because our morals are not. Here is the father of Umme Habiba. Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam proposed to her while she was in Abyssinia, in Ethiopia. Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam got married to her. And in that particular aspect, when he got married, when Abu Sufyan came to know, he said, my daughter could not have got a better husband. And by the way, I've done the series of 26 programs on the wives of Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, which inshallah will be recorded. And will be played out, inshallah.
Inshallah.
For people to view, not to listen.
Kya baat kahi. Okay, Mullah, here's a question. Please could you repeat the hadith about avoiding people with poor manners?
Well, you see, the thing is, do you avoid people with poor manners or do you engage them hoping that their poor manners will be turning into good ones? And I think if you look at Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's situation, Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam changed people. sometimes people were not as forthcoming in terms of their conduct, but after coming into contact with Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, their manners also changed. I mean, you look at the people who were, they were people who were not in that particular line, but when they came into contact with our beloved Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam changed their conduct. So if people are there, you engage them, you continuously engage them, and hoping inshallah that today it will change.
Mara, we've got 3 minutes left. We can inshallah conclude with a chapter, so then next week or hopefully in the next program we can do another chapter inshallah.
Muzaffar, the one aspect is that sometimes Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was so worried about his conduct and character that we all know the dua that Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to say when he used to look into the mirror. Allahumma kama anta hassanta khalqi fa hassan khuluqi. Oh Allah, just as you have beautified my physical self, beautify my character. He used to make dua, oh Allah, guide me to the best of manners, for none guides to the best of manners except you. Protect me from bad manners, for none can protect me except you. You know, this is how Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to be worried about his conduct and his character. Hence, we are in need of emulating the Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his character when we deal with Muslims, so that we may win them over. And we deal with people of other faiths so that we can educate them about what Islam teaches. So, the way the author has concluded this chapter, purify your intentions so that your interpersonal skills can turn into acts of worship, with which you can draw closer to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I think it's important for us to, just as we know the importance of salah, just as we know the hadith, أَوَّلُ مَا يُحَاسِبُ بِهِ الْعَبْدُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ الصَّلَاةِ. The first thing Allah will question you on the day of judgment would be salat. The salat in jamaat is 27 times better than the salat that is performed at home. All of that, alhamdulillah, should flash in front of us whenever the time of salat comes. Whenever we interact with people, these type of a hadith also flesh in front of us. That Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had said, the people who will be closest to me on the day of judgment will be those who are best in manners. The most complete in faith are those people who are best in their character, and those who are easy to socialize with, and those who get along with others, and others get along with them. And Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, a person who is in good in manners, his rank, and he will be equal and like the one who makes ibadat the whole night, and he fast all day. These things must also be in our mind. And remember, if that is a motivation for you to have good manners and good conduct, then it should be done equally to all the people whom you come into contact with, because you are motivated by the pleasure of Allah to doing it for the sake of the virtue and the rewards which are in the Quran and Hadith, not because of your own personal motivation. And if that is the case, you would be good to everyone, and you will not be good to selective people, and you will not be good to people according to their status, but according to your status, which is goodness.
Yes, so in short and in simple terms, be kind and courteous to everyone, not on personal motives or for personal gains or for personal agendas, but rather to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah, if this principle is applied between the mother-in-law and the daughter-in-law, what a harmonious relationship they'll have. Mother-in-law is courteous towards the daughter-in-law, not because she wants to win her over or whatever,
or but get khidmat done or get things done for the house, but because the Quran and Hadith has established good conduct with everyone.
MashaAllah.
Including the daughter-in-laws, and including the other way around, even including with the mothers-in-laws.
Yeah, for some reason, MashaAllah, the son-in-laws are always in good books. Alhamdulillah. Time for us to sign off. Mulana, Jazakumullah for your time. Much appreciated. We hope to speak to you inshallah again.
Inshallah.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.